Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja Podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a choir ninja.
What's the best part about being a ninja? The gear. It's the nunchucks, the katanas, the throwing stars. It's the same for choir ninjas. The difference between an ordinary and a masterful performance may come down to your most basic and essential piece of equipment, your music folder. My Music Folders creates a superior product, and they do it with a smile. And because they are friends of the podcast, they have a killer deal for you right now. Get the bulk purchase price break without having to buy in bulk. So whether you have to restock your entire classroom or you just need to replace a few folders, you will get the best possible pricing on the best possible product. So like a ninja, sneak on over to mymusicfolders.com and use the code NINJA when you check out.
Today's episode is brought to you by SightReadingFactory.com. Do you hate teaching sight singing? Do you have a carbon footprint the size of Sasquatch because you run off endless sheets of sight singing examples only to hear your students groan in agony when it's time to sight sing in rehearsal? SightReadingFactory.com is a web-based tool that will compose custom sight reading examples based on specifications that you choose. Your choir will actually enjoy sight singing, and so will you. Plus, you will get back hours of your life and finally feel like the choir ninja you were destined to be. If that isn't cool enough, you can add student accounts that link directly to your teacher dashboard so your kids can practice or even take recorded assessments from home. As a sponsor of this show, SightReadingFactory.com has an exclusive deal just for you, Choir Nation. When you purchase their insanely affordable one-year subscription, you will unlock 10 free student accounts just for using the promo code NINJA at checkout. That's Ninja, N-I-N-J-A. So head over to SightReadingFactory.com. That's SightReadingFactory.com. And don't forget to use the promo code NINJA at checkout to unlock your 10 student accounts absolutely free. Hey there, Choir Nation. This is Ryan Guth with the Choir Ninja Podcast. And I am excited to have with me today Lara Wolford. And she is joining me to talk about the joys of the booster program. So I'm excited to talk about this because I never had one. And I was advocating for one when I was a middle school teacher for a decade back in New Jersey. And they wouldn't let me have one because they didn't want to assemble, have parents assemble freely because they were afraid of sort of the political power that they might have. So that got shot down. And then when I got to Albuquerque to teach high school, I thought that I was opening Pandora's box by starting a booster program. So I didn't. This is going to be a great episode because I'm really curious to learn a little bit more about how this all works. So I have no experience with it. So, Lara, thank you for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So let's do like a 15-second background, like where are you at, where are you from, and where are you in your career, and that kind of thing.
All right. I'm teaching at Bethel High School, middle school, elementary school in Tipp City, Ohio. It's close to Dayton, if anyone knows Ohio geography. I started at Bethel right out of college. I went to Miami University and got my degree in vocal and general music ed. And I've born in Ohio, raised in Ohio, stayed in Ohio, and living the dream.
All right. Very good. So you are in did you say it was like a one building district?
Yes. So my district is a small rural district, right in the middle of cornfields. And we're one building, K through 12, growing at a rapid pace, which is really exciting. I started out as the K through 6 general music teacher, and I directed the elementary choirs.
How many kids are in the whole school?
Right now, 1,400, I think. When I started, probably about 900. So
oh wow, we've had some okay. So
pretty
why
rapid growth?
Why are they? Did Walmart come to town? Like, why are they growing?
We have a housing development in the district that has exploded, and then we're getting a lot of young families in. We're close to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, so we get a lot of military moving in. It's been really exciting. There's been challenges, good challenges. You know, the choral program and music program is booming as a result, which is wonderful. But with that, I've picked up middle school and high school choir in my teaching schedule as well. So it's fun. It keeps me busy, and I love every minute of it.
Now, as I understand, you came in after a 36-year veteran.
Yes. The former teacher before me had taught band and choir at the middle school and high school level for 37 years when he retired. And then the elementary teacher that I replaced had taught at Bethel for 37 years. It's the magic number in my district. And they both were wonderful, wonderful teachers. Both were mentors to me. But it definitely was a lot of fun coming in behind them and getting to keep a great program that was already established and try to keep it rolling and keep the pace going at the same time, still giving it my stamp and my flair.
So this is interesting because, you know, we had a guest, gosh, probably about a year ago on a, it was, who it was is slipping my mind right now. And
It's Stevie gave me this one to listen to actually, because she and I were talking about Beth something or other, I think.
Oh, but yes.
I haven't listened to it yet, but it's on my list.
I have to go back and find the number for it. But yeah, it was like about following a rock star, you know. Mm-hmm. And I will go back and find it as you're talking later on the episode, and I'll blurt it out. But but yeah, just that in itself, you know, that's like another episode altogether is following
a rock star.
A rock star. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. Now you have an established booster program, and then you came in. I mean, did the booster program help make the transition smoother in any way? Was that helpful?
Goodness, yes. Yes, the boosters were wonderful. I walked in, and this boosters program was already very well established. You know, they meet every month, and, you know, and they invited me right when I was hired. If I wanted to start coming, I could. They didn't put any pressure. And I was new, and I figured, hey, I need to get to know people in the district, so this is a great place to start. And they were really wonderful in helping the other director, you know, as I'm sitting here with my concert schedule or things and saying, oh, the boosters, we can help with this, or do you need help with fundraising for this, or, oh, you want to buy this for your classroom? Well, here are some ideas. So my first year, I could not sing their praises enough because they just kind of were that overarching rock behind me as I was trying to figure everything out. Because we all know first year teachers out of college, you learn everything and then you get a job and you have to learn everything again.
Yeah, right. Because for whatever reason, universities haven't figured out how to like give practical education yet. So I'm still waiting on them for that. So that would be great to learn how to, like, I don't know, do an Excel spreadsheet or like measure uniforms or something.
Oh my gosh. Yes. There were so many things. I mean, I feel very fortunate with my undergrad experience. I had a really wonderful experience. I had great professors, but there was a lot I just had to learn on my feet, and things like fundraising and planning field trips. And, you know, we talk about them, but man, it just takes doing them to figure it out.
And absolutely.
Learn what works and what doesn't work. So.
Oh, by the way, it's called "When You're Not Their First Love" with Beth Ritchie Sullivan. So, by the way, that's the episode we're talking about. So, it's about a year. It's about a. It was May 30th, 2017. It came out. So, if you type in Beth at choir.ninja, you can find that episode in the search bar there. So, anyway. So let's delve into the meat here of the episode. Let's just talk about, I don't know, what did you learn that a booster organization does that maybe surprised you?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I learned my first year, and I'm still just learning, is how much the relationship between the boosters and the directors. It's really symbiotic. I mean, we depend on each other. They don't exist without our program and it's really hard to do it on your own. We shouldn't have to go it alone. So we need them as much as they need us. And that really has helped me in moving forward and working with them and learning to depend on them and learning to just turn to them sometimes and be like, I need help. I don't have time to do this. Can you guys do this for me? And knowing what areas that I can ask for help. And then at the same time, protecting the areas that, as much as I love my boosters, I want to still be in charge of. So
what are those areas?
Well, I think in, you know, scheduling concerts and things, you know, kind of those administrative things. And also, you know, having that final say so of whether or not something is going to be a fundraiser or how you're going to structure setting up camps or retreats or things, you know, they can be great help. But at the same time, a lot of decisions still do rely in the box of the director, of the band director or the choir director.
But and they never touch artistic stuff, right?
No, okay. They shouldn't, I should say. I mean, mine don't. And I can't speak to other boosters programs, but that should definitely stay within the control of the director, because that's your job and that's your role as the director. You know the way you want your program to go. You know the direction it should be taking off. And, you know, everyone has an opinion and you can listen to opinions and you can take advice from them. But ultimately, you are the one who we have the training, we have the expertise, and we know what we're doing.
Sure.
So.
Right. I guess you have to establish, are there sort of boundaries that you have to set? I mean, do you have to like explicitly say what the boundaries are when you're working with a booster organization?
I think that depends on the people involved in your boosters. I personally have never had to. My boosters are, I'm just going to say now, I love my boosters, and I'm going to make sure to send them this link so they know how much I love them. But they have been phenomenal. They've never crossed that boundary with me. But with some personalities, you may have to say, you know, thank you for your opinion, to remind them that, you know, I appreciate your opinion, but this is ultimately my decision. You know that, you know, we may post this episode in a week. I may have that experience and have to say, well, eat my words now. Now I have to do it. But I think if you have a situation that pops up there as a professional, it's easy. You can look at someone and just thank you so much. But, you know, this is my decision. You know, this is not a booster's decision. This is a choir director decision. Sure. Or this is a music department decision.
What are the type of tasks that, well, you know what? Speaking of decisions, let's just go there for a second. You have a choice, right? When it comes to the music that you pick, right?
Right.
Do you have a choice of the vendor that you use to purchase music from?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That is completely with me.
That's great. So I want to take a second, because we're sort of midway here, to Perfect. Talk about sheetmusicdeals.com. Have you personally, Laura, have you heard of sheetmusicdeals.com?
I've heard of them, but I honestly can say I've not visited their website
okay.
yet.
Well, they're just about a year old. So if you haven't heard of them, that's fine. But if you haven't visited their website, that's fine too. But they are sponsoring this episode of the podcast. So they are standing behind the Choir Ninja podcast and the missions that we have. And they are offering another place to purchase music from that you can also support the Choir Ninja podcast upon doing so. So they have partnered with Briley Carl Fisher Music to offer 20% off your order whenever you order something from Carl Fisher, Briley, and Denise Eaton. I'm sure, Laura, have you heard any of the episodes with Denise Eaton yet?
Yes, they're wonderful.
So yeah, they are wonderful. They always get big download numbers. So Denise is the editor over at Carl Fisher Briley, and the founder of Sheet Music Deals, Donald Beebe. He wants to support Denise and Briley and the podcast. So he's offering 20% off anything Carl Fisher Briley that you order from sheetmusicdeals.com. And you just use the promo code Ninja when you check out, and it's as easy as that. But I am so absolutely in love with the professionalism that I see from Sheet Music Deals that I want to start just converting Choir Nation over to using sheetmusicdeals.com as a as their vendor of choice. So, Laura, I would love if you would check out their website after we get off here and see if maybe you might want to do a little work with Donald and his team over there at Sheet Music Deals. So,
oh, I plan on checking it out.
Awesome. Well, great. That's it for that. Let's get back into this. Let's get back into this episode. So, what are some of the tasks that you assign to your boosters? I mean, do you assign tasks, or do they assign you tasks, or how does that work?
It's kind of a collaborative effort. So we have our officers. We have a president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary, and the band director and I function as advisors in the boosters. So the anything we do, it's a joint effort moving forward. The main huge task of our boosters program really is fundraising, because we all know that the list of what the program needs far usually exceeds the budget that we have at our disposal. So our boosters really sit and they try to plan effective fundraising and how to raise money and allocate the money we raise to best support the students and support the most students. So right now, for instance, we are just wrapping up a fundraiser in my school that we're working on buying new choir robes right now. And that's our big goal. So everything we've been doing has been moving in that direction. And with this fundraiser, it's been really great because, you know, someone was the point to contact the company we worked with, and we collaborated and set up the in-school kickoff, and we know we had the selling period, and then our booster's treasurer came in, collected all the forms of money, and she's counting and doing all the paperwork. And it's been nice as a director because I'm promoting this fundraiser, but, you know, it's contest season, musical is starting. There's a lot on my plate. And if I didn't have my boosters and I was doing this right now, oh my goodness, I don't know how I would have time to do this, but they come in and they help do the managing and the setting up of all this. And, you know, we can all celebrate together at the end when it's over and see how much we raised. And okay, we've gotten this much, let's budget it. And, you know, we need to pay for this. Oh, there's a trip. We need to put some money aside for this, paying money for attending contests. So that's kind of where the boosters do their main thing. The other big thing my boosters program does is with concerts throughout the year for both the band and the choirs, they look at the needs. You know, do they need someone there selling spirit wear? Do they need someone there manning the door? You know, if I ever need someone to help running sound or any little thing with the concert, I have a group of people that I can email and say, hey, I need this assistance. Is anyone available? And they're a wonderful support network in that sense. It's a real blessing.
That's awesome. That's great. So it sounds like, I mean, to me, it sounds like they kind of know how things flow already. And so they're sort of,
I guess, as I said, they were established before I got there. This ball has been rolling and yeah, it's really great.
So do they ever sort of remind you of things that you have to do?
Yes, especially as I took over, the high school choir program. This is my second year as the high school choir director. And, you know, the previous teacher, he's in the area and he helps me a lot. But the boosters are really great sometimes saying, hey, about this time is usually when this would be happening. Or, you know, I think that these are coming up, you know, have you planned for all state auditions yet? Have you done this? Things that I know about, but sometimes, you know, last year I can tell you I was overwhelmed. Just there was so much new and trying to stay above water and trying to get everything done. And they were really great to kind of just gently remind me if I wasn't thinking of something. You know, I think that this, they'd be like, I think last year, this was about the time this would happen. So they were phenomenal.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's, man. But, you know, you wear so many hats as a choir director, especially in a high school program, that, you know, you're expected to sort of be, and I touched on this at my keynote in Iowa at the Iowa Choral Directors Convention or symposium last summer, that, you know, you are like director of sales and recruitment and marketing and janitorial and spreadsheets and
yes, oh,
and like choir is like kind of the last thing that you have
There's
to do.
So many hats that you have to wear in teaching in general, but especially as a choir director, there's just so much that we're expected to do. And I think that what I've seen working with my boosters is that they kind of come in behind and they support and they kind of, they cheerlead sometimes, you know. Right now our boosters president is a coworker. She's a teacher in the district. And, you know, sometimes it's just popping in her classroom and she just, you know, gives that pep talk and, you know, it's all good and we keep going. Or, another thing I love to use my boosters for, I think I put it in the show notes as a think tank. I love bouncing ideas off them because I am single. I have no children. I don't have children in the district. I'm not thinking as a parent. So I will have an idea and sometimes I'll throw it out on the table and I can tell by their faces that, I didn't think it through all the way. And they give really good feedback about, oh, well, maybe you should think about it this way, or, oh, that's a wonderful idea. Or sometimes they'd like, oh, that's a great idea. Have you thought about adding this element to it or trying it this way? So I really love to use them as I'm fleshing out new ideas.
Sure.
So
sure. That's like the, you're getting a parent's perspective. You don't know what you don't know. So I think that's really important. So that's great. Awesome.
And the parents are really, I mean, they're participating in the Music Boosters because they're vested in the program. They're invested. They want to be there. They want to be active in somehow. And I've come to realize that really a Music Boosters program is the perfect way for a parent to be involved because they can find where they're needed. They can support where they're needed and they can feel that ownership. You know, their child is in this program. Their child is spending all sorts of time at the school, at contests, at concerts, in extracurricular a cappella groups, if that's what your school is, and show choir, and whatever your program offers, this is how your parent can be involved as well and support their children, which is kind of a win-win for everyone.
And, you know, aren't parents looking for belonging? You know, aren't they just looking for a place where they can, I mean, because you spend so much time working on your kids, and here's a place where you can work on your kids and commune with other people that are, you know, that are also interested in the same things you are, you know? I think it's just a great place for parents to connect as well. So
yeah. And to connect, to network. And I mean, I think of anything we do. I mean, if you sit and watch something and it's wonderful and you're like, oh, this is wonderful. But if you sit and you watch something and you're like, oh, I helped make that set piece, or, oh, I helped set up the microphone system, or I came and helped organize passing out the folders, or whatever way you end up using them, whether it's something like that or something in the planning process. But, you know, it gives a little bit more enjoyment to know that you contributed something to the end product. I think personally, just a little bit more happiness.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a wonderful way to end this short episode of the Choir Ninja podcast. I think it's nice to have these little ones every once in a while because I know my commute is about 2 minutes. I don't get anywhere near the amount of time I used to have in the car. So it's nice to have little things to digest, or even on a run or, you know, gym visit or something like that. So, I appreciate it, Laura, you know, all your insight about the booster organizations, and maybe we'll inspire some Choir Nation members to go out and start their own, or and maybe look at theirs a different way, or improve upon what they already got.
Get more involved. So I know I've heard of other schools sometimes where the boosters programs tend to be a little more band oriented. And before anybody thinks I'm bashing bands, I'm not. I'm a band person too, but I think that boosters can support the choir a lot too. And sometimes it's getting in there and showing them how they can support it and how we can up it to that next level. So get out there and get involved with your boosters, get to know them, and just make something wonderful with your boosters.
There you go. That's it. Uh-huh. We'll put a little bow on it. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Laura. And we appreciate you being here on the Choir Ninja podcast.
Thank you. And thanks, Choir Nation. It's been fun.
Choir Ninja Show. Wa-bung-bung.